Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's July the 10th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. In agricultural news, shareholders have passed the CBOT-CME merger. The chairman's mark is called far from perfect, but realistic as an attempt at the farm bill. And House members want a ban on Canadian cattle over 30 months. I'll have details of these stories shortly, and then we'll hear the latest thinking on agricultural competition from Iowa's senior senator. Chuck Grassley is floating an agricultural competition enhancement bill. Remember, it's Tuesday, and that means two things for this show. As always, during the growing season, statisticians from the top five corn-producing states will update crop conditions as of the last week. And then, just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for this edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby July wheat from the soft red winter wheat pit at $5.92, up 3.5 cents today. September's 2.25 higher at 601.75, and December futures at 615.75 were up 2.75. From the corn pit, July at 338, up 5.5. September's 345.5, up 6.25. And December corn at $3.57, up 6.75. July soybeans 19 cents higher. $8.89. August contract at $8.93.5, 18 cents higher. And November beans were 18.5 higher at $9.20.5 for the day. Bean meal futures, July contract at $2.44.30, up $7.40. July bean oil up 36 at $37.68. From the Mercantile Exchange, August feeder cattle down 45 cents at $1.14, 2.5 cents. And the August contract at 91.97.5 were down 55 cents. For the live cattle, October live cattle at 96.50 were down 67.5. July lean hogs 22.5 lower at $70.32.5 for the day. From the outside markets, nearby August crude oil futures $72.75. They were up 56 for the day. The U.S. dollar at 80.91, down 0.49. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now just about 108 points lower at 13,541 for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us on this Tuesday afternoon is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
I surprise you in the marketplace with a little gain of 19.5 cents in the beans and 6 cents in the corn today?
Well, I refer to that a little more than a little bit. But, yes, I was probably shocked that we moved with quite the vigor that we moved today with no backing and filling along the way, Todd. It seems like the funds come in this morning. They popped the open, and their selling did not develop from anywhere. And then as the noon forecast come in, they continued their onslaught, and we closed, of course, beans up at new contract highs over the 920 mark. You know, quite a goal here, and substantially over the 356 mark in the Dease corn. So technically some very strong closes on somewhat limited volume today, Todd.
All weather driven?
Well, you know, the funds, the idea of evening up before that and partially weather driven, there was talks basically that with the corn crop being late seeded and silking and pollination happening so fast, that we've been, you know, the maturity been pushed up during the because of the heat and dryness during May and June. And generally, when crops are pushed like that, that they tend to only have trend line yields, was one of the talks out there this morning as far as the corn. Also, the fact that, you know, the weather continues to look extremely dry for the west or anything west of the Mississippi. Going to be cool here for a few days, but does look dry out there. And if we're dry, the dry and warm going into August, that's when the beans really need some moisture and need some good filling time there. So, you know, I think there was some worry about that as far as what was going on, too. So was the weather more so in the beans being the leader?
The question, of course, becomes When and if does this type of rally become a selling opportunity for producers?
That is a hard one to call because, you know, if it is strictly weather, well, we watch the weather forecast, and when we see some weather, then, of course, we better be covering some things. I think that this is maybe, depending on, you have to look out your back door and see what your crop looks like and feel what you can make, and you have to scale into it a little bit along the way. If you have a crop made and things looking good and you've got some rain in your area. You know, we talked to a lot of our customers today. Some of them had one-tenth, some of them had three-tenths, some had seven-tenths, some had an inch, some of them had two inches. So, you know, depending on which of the places you're sitting and what your crops are looking at, I think that this is a rally to take, you know, to be scaling into if you have, you know, if you're not at the point you want to be selling and looking at things, because we're going to have a tendency when we get the numbers on Thursday and down the road to see some really big production numbers in corn. The beans, of course, less than what they would be liking, but still along the way, the Mid-South, and that is in the Delta area, is getting some fairly decent rains at this point in time.
Do you think that the beans are being bid back up on the idea that we really need to purchase hectares or acres in South America?
Oh, I'm sure that's probably two-thirds of it, and along those lines. It sure isn't because of the great demand in the U.S. The cash bid at the Gulf is less than the board price in Chicago, and that's the first time since the early 1990s that we have been at a minus basis at the Gulf on beans, you know, like I say, in just about 17 years. So, needless to say, it isn't being driven up just on demand here in the U.S. for cash beans.
So what are you telling producers? Actually, let me turn that around. What are producers asking you most often when they call you today?
You know, I think the biggest thing is just like what you said. Do we let it run a little more? Do we sit back and watch? Do we do a little pricing here? And I think that this has given a lot of guys some new hope. A lot of them are trying to look and try to decide how far this corn rally can go. You know, after the government added the 2.5 million acres more in, what is the top end of this rally here? And I think that 380 has been thrown out a lot of times as to a place, the next, you know, another place to maybe sell some more corn, as by a lot of the advisory firms.
Are they asking more about corn rather than beans?
Todd, when you see 20 cents up in beans, farmers don't ask if you should hang on or sell. They just hang on.
Yeah, they do. Beans are an interesting sort of thing, aren't they? They like to store the beans as long as they can. Is that advisable is the question.
Well, I think, you know, like I say, I think there's no reason, as we're making new contract highs 2 or 3 days in a row, to want to be jumping aside. We already realize the report on Thursday is probably not going to give us any real bad news as far as the beans are concerned. And the weather is very touchy, and it's going to be actually, as we look at the situation, we're 80% good to excellent in Iowa on the corn here last Monday. They say that it's, you know, it's moving right along in pollination. We're going to have cool weather here now in Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa out here for the finishing up the pollination. So actually, we're a little more concerned, in all honesty, about the beans and how they're maturing because they'll be a little later. So, you know, the warm weather, dryness, and what could have an actually more adverse effect on the bean yield than on the corn yield at this point in time.
Wayne, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Tuesday afternoons. A quick look at the Champaign-Urbana forecast for tonight. Showers and thunderstorms likely in the evening. Then a chance of some showers and thunderstorms after midnight. Lows this evening in Champaign, 60s. Southwest winds around 10 miles an hour. The chance of precip, about 60%. Mostly sunny. Tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning. Not as warm. High in the mid-70s. Northwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. You're listening to WILL AM 580. There are just a couple of news notes for the day. The Chicago Mercantile Exchange Holdings and CBOT Holdings say preliminary results indicate the shareholders of both companies have approved the proposed merger of the CME and the CBOT. In addition, preliminary results also show the CBOT members have voted to approve certain related matters in a separate member vote. The shareholder vote was held yesterday afternoon. Certification of the results is expected to occur in the next few days. The officials say upon completion of the merger, the combined company, which will be called the CME Group, Inc., a CME Chicago Board of Trade company, will be the world's largest and most diverse exchange, providing products in all major benchmark asset classes. Well, despite difficult circumstances, including a tight budget climate and pressure from groups asking for increased funding for a variety of farm bill programs, National Farmers Union President Tom Bias says the House Ag Committee chairman has drafted a commodity title that keeps a good safety net in place for family farmers, but also, Bias says, the legislation seeks to improve the current safety net with the inclusion of the provision for a permanent emergency disaster program. Bias says the chairman's mark is far from perfect, but calls it a realistic attempt. And finally today, a group of eight representatives have jointly sent a letter to Ag Secretary Mike Johanns that calls for the withdrawal of the U.S. Department of Agriculture's proposed rule that would allow into the U.S. Canadian cattle over 30 months of age. The bipartisan letter states, "We and cattle ranchers we represent believe expanding imports of Canadian livestock and beef will have a serious set of repercussions for the American cattle industry, and we urge you to withdraw the proposal." And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, working with farmers for over 100 years to advance agriculture and farming way of life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL Urbana. Please visit our website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. There you can sign up for our weekend newsletter and hear most of our daily ag programming as an MP3 file, either as a podcast or as a direct download. Well, up next, House Ag Committee Chairman Colin Peterson's draft of the 2007 Farm Bill does not include a competition title. And the National Cattlemen's Beef Association is calling that good news, but the story may be different in the Senate. Iowa GOP Senator Chuck Grassley has long worked to address concentration in agriculture. He says it's one of the most important issues facing the ag industry today, and he says hearings have indicated a need to deal with unfair practices. That's why Grassley is introducing the Agricultural Competition Enhancement Act.
My bill seeks to ensure that there is a level playing field for all participants in agriculture and to make sure that the family farmer is not left behind.
The bill, co-sponsored by South Dakota Republican John Thune and Wisconsin Democrat Herb Cole, will do a number of things. First, Grassley says the measure directs the Justice Department and the Federal Trade Commission to draft agriculture-specific guidelines for use when reviewing agricultural mergers. It also, according to Grassley, would create an agricultural competition task force. The task force, among other things, would coordinate activities to address anti-competitive practices. Other components of interest include:
it amends the antitrust laws, shift the burden of proof in agricultural mergers to the defendant to prove that the merger will not substantially lessen competition. It requires the Justice Department and the FTC to conduct a post-merger review of certain agriculture mergers 5 years after they've been approved. It formalizes the Department of Agriculture's review of ag mergers, which means that the Agriculture Department will be a part of the antitrust approval process in every agriculture merger. Lastly, the bill authorizes additional resources or GPSA and the Department of Justice to review agriculture transactions.
Grassley says the bill will be controversial, but that he welcomes that controversy. He says he's hopeful Senate Ag Committee Chairman Tom Harkin, also from Iowa, will give the bill a close look during the Farm Bill consideration. He would like to see his Agricultural Competition Enhancement Act included in Harkin's Farm Bill. And as long as Harkin does not see the measure as a stumbling block to moving the bill through the committee, Grassley says he believes Harkin will include it in his version of the bill.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank. serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Each and every Tuesday, statisticians from the top five corn-producing states join us to update conditions in their areas. Those in order are Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. Nationally, USDA's crop progress report released yesterday afternoon says 32% of the corn crop has silk. That's better than 10 percentage points over last year and the five-year rolling average. 51% of the crop said to be in good condition, 19% excellent. That's down 3% from last week, but 7 percentage points better than last year. In the soybean, 65% said to be in good to excellent condition. Like the corn, that's off 3% from the previous week, but still better than last year. 40% of the bean crop, by the way, is blooming, and that's 12% ahead of the rolling five-year average. 58% of the winter wheat has been harvested. Nationally, that crop remains in trouble, with less than half, 47%, in the good to excellent categories.
This is Jim Prasaki, State Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending July 8, 2007. As Iowa's summer heats up, crops are showing signs of stress from high temperatures and low moisture. Statewide average precipitation was 0.42 inches, while normal for the week is 1.14 inches. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged 1 to 2 degrees above normal southeast Iowa to 4 to 5 degrees warmer than usual over the northwest, with a statewide average of 3.6 degrees above normal. Leaves are curling from lack of moisture as few areas of the state have received significant rainfall recently. Many areas receiving measurable rainfall dealt with flooding conditions as heavy rain fell in a very short time frame. There were 6.5 days suitable for field work compared to 6 days last year at this time. Topsoil moisture rated 54% very short or short, 44% adequate, and 2% surplus across Iowa. Subsoil moisture rated 29% very short or short, 68% adequate, and 3% surplus. Corn condition is rated 7% very poor or poor, 21% fair, 72% good or excellent. Overall, a slight reduction from last week. Corn tassel at 37% is 3 days ahead of last year's 18% and 6 days ahead of the five-year average of 13%. Corn silked at 18% is also 3 days ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of normal. Average corn height is 65 inches, an increase of 14 inches from last week. Soybean condition is 6% very poor or poor, 22% fair, and 72% good or excellent. Soybeans blooming are at 52%, ahead of last year's 47% and the five-year average of 39%. 7% of the soybeans are setting pods. This has been Joe Prasaki with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Des Moines, Iowa, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report.
This is Patrick Clinton, agricultural statistician with the Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, reporting on crop progress and condition for the week ending July 8, 2007. Precipitation and temperatures were near normal across the state last week. There were 5.7 days suitable for field work. Topsoil moisture was rated 2% very short, 24% short, 71% adequate, and 3% surplus. The corn crop continues to progress well, with the majority of the crop in the silking stage. 68% of the crop has silked, compared to 36% last year and 34% for the five-year average. Overall, the corn crop was rated 1% very poor, 4% poor, 14% fair, 53% good, and 28% excellent. The soybean crop also made excellent progress across the state last week. 51% of the crop has bloomed, with 5% setting pods. Overall, the majority of the soybean crop was rated good or excellent. Farmers across the state made excellent progress towards wrapping up the wheat harvest last week. Wheat harvested was estimated at 96% complete, compared to 73% for the previous week. This compares to 93% harvested last year and 91% for the five-year average. In other crops, 10% of the sorghum crop was headed, compared to 8% last year and 7% for the five-year average. The second cutting of alfalfa surged ahead with 68% complete last week. This is slightly behind last year's 80%, but ahead of the five-year average of 64%. This has been Patrick Clinton of the Illinois Field Office with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Steve Parn reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending July 8, 2007. Corn conditions rated 80% good or excellent, well above last year's 61% rating. Irrigated fields rated 90% good or excellent, while dryland fields declined and rated 67, both above year-ago levels. Soybean conditions rated 76% good or excellent, well above last year's 50% condition. Wheat conditions rated 56% good or excellent. Wheat harvested was 41%, 1 week behind last year and 2 days behind average. Alfalfa conditions rated 60% good or excellent, well above last year's 36%. Oat conditions rated 70% good or excellent, well above last year's 24%. Sorghum conditions rated 77% good or excellent, well above last year's 53%. Pasture and ranch conditions rated 65% good or excellent, well above last year's 14%. This has been Steve Parn of USDA's NAS, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director of the USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending July 8, 2007. Topsoil moisture ratings declined further despite receiving varying levels of precipitation across the state. Corn and soybean conditions declined slightly as moisture supplies in the central and southern portions of the state were reported short or very short. Crop conditions for sunflower, canola, dry beans, and barley improved as soil moistures remained mostly adequate in the northwest. Crops developed rapidly during the week, pushed by warm temperatures. The average temperature for the week was 72.6 degrees, 3.6 degrees above normal. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 24% very short, 34 short, 39 adequate, and 5 surplus. As of Sunday, July 8th, the state average corn height was 68 inches, compared to 46 inches for the 5-year average. Soybean height was 18 inches, compared to 13 inches average. 17% of the spring wheat acreage was ripening, compared to 8% average. As of Friday, July 6th, 67% of field corn and 65% of soybeans were rated in good or excellent condition. 68% of spring wheat was rated in good or excellent condition. This is Dan Loftus for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending July 8th. Cooler temperatures and scattered showers early in the week gave way to a return to the hot, dry conditions by midweek. The high temperatures and thirsty plants quickly depleted the soil moisture. Field crops were under stress in many areas of the state as afternoon temperatures reached above 90 degrees towards the end of the week. Many corn fields have entered the critical pollination stage, increasing the need for cooler temperatures and precipitation. Topsoil moisture was rated as 26% very short, 38% short, 34% adequate, and 2% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated as 25% very short, 40% short, 34% adequate, and 1% surplus. Precipitation averaged from 0 to 4.99 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 91 to a low of 48 degrees. By the week ending Friday, 5.6 days were rated as suitable for field work. 35% of the planted corn acreage has silk, compared with 12% last year and 19% for the 5-year average. The condition of the corn crop was rated at 51% good to excellent, compared to 60% last year at this time. 36% of the soybean acreage is blooming, compared to 11% for last year and 21% for the 5-year average. The soybean condition was rated at 45% good to excellent, compared to 59% last year at this time. The winter wheat harvest is 87% complete, compared with 65% last year and 71% for the 5-year average. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL Urbana AM 580. In about 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan continues to blame Governor Rob Blagojevich for the state's budget crisis. Madigan told Chicago radio station WLS this morning that there's a failure of leadership by the governor. He contends Blagojevich's leadership style is designed to divide people, not unite them. Meanwhile, State Representative Naomi Jacobson says she thinks budget negotiations have improved since legislative leaders began allowing more participation from rank-and-file members. The Urbana Democrat says members are being given more opportunities to ask questions and express their views. Former Indiana Congresswoman Jill Long Thompson officially announced her candidacy for the Democratic gubernatorial nomination today. She's one of three Democrats hoping to unseat Republican incumbent Mitch Daniels. Long Thompson says if elected Indiana governor, she would examine state privatization contracts to see if they can be reversed. Federal funds are enabling Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana to better prepare in the event of disaster. A portion of a $285,000 bioterrorism grant was used to purchase 8 stair chairs, which will smoothly and safely allow staff to move patients down a flight of stairs. The money also went towards isolation equipment to be used in case of an infectious disease outbreak and imaging software with informational photos on over 700 diseases. Springfield, Illinois lost out today on the chance to host the Simpsons movie premiere on July 21st. Instead, the Vermont city of the same name was the winner in a national vote that allowed the public to pick from among 14 Springfields across the nation that had sought the honor. And Berwyn's Car Kebab is coming down. The towering sculpture featuring 8 cars impaled on a massive steel pipe will be removed from its spot in the Chicago suburb this summer to make way for a new drugstore. The Car Kebab, officially named Spindle, gained fame through its appearance in the 1992 movie Wayne's World. California artist Dustin Schuler built the piece in 1989 and calls the dismantling painful. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather on this Tuesday afternoon is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Well, a little rainfall in parts of the Midwest yesterday afternoon. Looks like we might have a chance today, tomorrow, and then the skies turn sunny and a little cool across a good portion of the area.
Yeah, in fact, a large portion of the United States is going to see temperatures cooling down to near or a little bit below average. After these showers and thunderstorms pass through, there's a large, rather vigorous storm for July up in south-central Canada that will drive a cool front west to east across the nation, reaching the East Coast by this weekend. So it will cool off, but ahead of this pattern, as you mentioned, there's going to be more shower and thunderstorm activity, and the chances of moisture over most of the Midwest and the Corn Belt look pretty good over the next week or so.
Can't ask for much better weather, I suppose, either for growing conditions and the weekend, could you?
That is correct. Actually, it'll be very pleasant.
All right, then tell me about some areas that haven't done so well. Are they drying out in the Southwest, and can harvest continue at a more rapid pace?
Well, yes and no. We still have some chances for more rain across some of those areas of the Southwest, being portions of Oklahoma, Texas, and Kansas. In fact, they're about ready to enter another phase of more activity over the next 3 or 4 days. There has been a little bit of progress, a little bit of drying, but I'm afraid they may take a step backward for the second half of this week.
And then what do you see for China at this time?
China is going to be looking at a weather pattern remarkably similar to what's happening here. This is something that we saw last week. Precipitation across China looks to be near normal across most of that country over the next week or so. And we're looking at temperature readings that over there are going to be averaging near to maybe a touch below normal as well, as they're looking at a cool front moving on through that country as well.
And while we'll be in the 80s, they'll be closer to the 90s, though, still?
Yeah, they'll be in that vicinity, upper 80s and lower 90s. But the only warmer than normal areas or the hotter areas will be in the northern and northeast growing areas of China.
You better check in on some of the wheat growing areas of the world for me too. Ukraine, Australia, tell me how they're rebounding, if at all. They haven't been from their drought-stricken areas.
Well, there's a little bit of rain in the forecast for those wheat areas, especially the northern areas. The Ukraine, northern and western areas have some chances of precipitation. Will it be enough to catch them up? No, but the trend is a little bit better for those areas.
And for Australia?
Australia, well, their ongoing drought is continuing to be ongoing, although there has been a little bit of help recently. A pretty active weather pattern in the southern hemisphere, although we are looking at a mostly dry forecast for most of that area for the next week.
We appreciate you being with us, Don.
Thanks, Todd.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report that happens on Tuesday afternoons. And be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at the day's markets. Remember, you can listen to today's futures analysis and the weather report right there on the web. Just go to WILLAG.org. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.